blessing, sometimes you just, I need somebody to help me right here. Before you can put ointment on the wound, sometimes you got to rip the Band-Aid off. And yeah, it might hurt a little bit at the beginning. And anyhow, but I think you'll make it through it. I don't think anybody will not survive the first part, all right? But 1 Samuel chapter number 30, and I'm going to read a few verses, and then I'm going to go back, and I'm going to catch 1 Samuel chapter number 16. We're not going to turn there, but we're just going to follow the life of David up until chapter number 30. And we're going to see what transpired and what brought chapter number 30 on, all right? As we look at this in chapter number 30, if you're there, I want you to say amen. Amen. We're going to start reading in verse number 1. And the Bible says, "And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag, on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire." Now the significance of this is David's city at this time. This was a city that was given to David for him to dwell in, for him to live in with his men. At the time, David had 600 men was following him, was fighting with him, was his companions, was his army, private army, if you will. And the king of Gath, who was one of the lords of the Philistines, David had made friends with him named Achish, and he had given David Ziklag for him to dwell there. And so David and his family moved to Ziklag, the 600 men that were with David and their families moved to Ziklag. So when this verse starts off and it says that they invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire, they had come after David and his family. All right, is everybody with me? The Bible says, "And had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way." Now let me say this before we move on to verse number 3. David had no idea that his wives and the children and the wives and children of the men had not been killed. All right? They weren't in the city, but the city was on fire. Can I get a witness right here? He did not know the extent of the damage here. So while you and I get a glimpse and we see that they took them and they didn't do them any harm, David and the men had no idea what was going on. Verse number 3, the Bible says, "And so David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep." Now we're talking about David. We're talking about the one that killed Goliath. We're talking about a man's man. We're talking about 600 men of Belial. I mean, these guys were abased men, according to the Bible, that joined themselves to David. David wasn't your choir boy type. I need somebody to say amen. All right, we got a misconception about Bible. I know David was a man after God's own heart, but you didn't want to cross David. I know David was a man after God's own heart, but when David done things, people died. I hear this all the time. We the love, but man, we're finding anywhere in the Bible where God would kill somebody. Look at David. Saul said, "Look, you can have Michael, but it's going to cost you 100 foreskins." David said, "No problem." He come back with 200. That means 200 men died. Is everybody all right? We won't get into that conversation, but y'all understand, David was a man, when he set out to do something, he did it right, and people died. And so for this man, this is a man's man, to be at a place in his life where he has no more power to weep. They wept, the Bible says, until they had no more power to weep. The Bible says in verse number 5, "And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite." Which, by the way, Nabal was fixing to get killed by David. I'm going to move on, all right? Verse number 6. And David was greatly distressed. Listen to this next sentence, or next part. For the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Amen. Praise God. David, a man after God's own heart. Hallelujah. He encouraged himself in the Lord his God. But where was the Lord his God in all his decision making before now? I need somebody to say amen. I mean, we're talking about David. You go back to chapter number 16. David is anointed king of Israel. He's not appointed. We know Saul is the rightful king. And David has been anointed by Samuel at the request of God, at the instructions of God. David is anointed to be king. We go into chapter number 17 and we find one of the greatest victories of David's life when he stood before the Philistine, who was 9 foot 9 inches tall. Some say 11 foot. Either way, can I get a witness right here? He was a big boy. And David killed him with nothing more than a sling and a rock, a smooth stone that he picked up on the way to battle. I mean, David had some great victories. He cut off the head. Is everybody all right? I say this all the time, but this doesn't get into our Sunday school stories when we're telling the little kids about David defeating Goliath. He cut the Joker's head off and drug it into his tent as a trophy. I mean, I got deer heads hanging on my wall. David had the giant's head hanging up there. This is for anybody that thinks that David was a sissy, all right? I mean, David was like, hey, I'm taking this one. I'll have this skull hanging up on the wall right here of the giant with a stone stuck in his head. Amen? I mean, David was the one that started the taxidermy. We'll move on from that. But, I mean, he was. Verse chapter number 18. Saul realizes the value of David. And the Bible says in chapter number 18 that Saul would no longer let David go home. And so Saul kept David in the palace. But that didn't last long. The Bible says that David behaved himself wisely. And he went out and come in. And he was killing people left and right, the enemies of God, the Philistines. And all of a sudden, all the women started singing and saying, Saul has killed his thousands, David has killed his 10,000. And all of a sudden, guess what happened in chapter number 18? Saul says, I'm going to kill this boy. Saul said, I can't have him hanging around. I'm going to have to kill this boy. Chapter number 18. Everybody look at me. Chapter number 18. All right, chapter number 16, we're introduced to David. We're introduced to David in a way that God anointed him to be king. In chapter number 17, we see God use David to defeat a giant. We see God showing us that our David, our Messiah, would come and he would defeat the giant of sin. And he did so. I need a witness right there. But in chapter number 18, just a couple of chapters into David's life, as far as you and I know it and are concerned with it, Saul begins an attempt to kill him. Saul tries to pin him to the wall with a javelin. Chapter number 19, Paul makes up a plot and decides that he's going to kill David. Chapter number 19, chapter number 20, Jonathan helps to save David. David is a man on the run now. Chapter number 21, I believe it is, David goes into the high priest, goes to the high priest and ends up with the sword of Goliath, but he's on the run. Because of David, there was a man there by the name of Doeg, and old Doeg went back to Saul and told Saul that the Abimelech had given him the sword, and Abimelech had fed him, and so Saul comes and kills the priest, and of course, that weighs heavy on the heart of David. You'd have to read it, but David said that that came, and the reason the priest died was because of him. David retreats to a cave, and all of a sudden we see David distressed in a cave, and all these men start gathering themselves to David. The Bible says the men that were distressed, the men that were abased, all these type men start coming to David, but he's still a fugitive. He's still wanted. Saul's still chastening. Once in a cave, David spares the life of Saul by cutting his skirt. And then later, David spares his life in the camp when they're asleep. And David takes his spear and David takes his water. David is on the run and Saul is hounding him. Saul is pursuing him. Saul is hunting him. And David refuses to go against God and kill the Lord's anointed. David wouldn't let anybody kill the Lord's anointed. And so the very thing that's trying to destroy David is chasing David. David had multiple opportunities to kill it, but he decided not to because he followed the Lord. Everybody all right? We come to chapter 26, and in chapter 26, this is where David spares Saul's life by taking the spear and taking the water. And he called out to Saul and he said, "I have let you live." And Saul promised in chapter number 26, "I'm not going to chase you anymore. I'm not going to pursue you anymore," which was a lie. But in chapter 27, the very first verse begins the downfall of David to get us to where we're at in chapter 30. In chapter 27, in verse number 1, the Bible says, "And David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There's nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines. And Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in any coast of Israel. So shall I escape out of his hand." When we look at this passage of Scripture in chapter number 27, we see the thought process of David. We see a man that has been hunted, a man that has been hounded, a man, by the way, that has been protected every step of the way. But yet, his mental process says, if I don't do something, I'm going to die. Stay with me. Stay with me. Because there's a lot of folks that have followed the Lord wholeheartedly and has experienced God over and over again, sparing their life and saving them, protecting them and guiding them. But after so many and so much bombardment, mentally, they can't take it no more. Remember who we talk about Sunday? Elijah. Elijah on Mount Carmel. The next chapter under a juniper tree saying, "It is enough, O Lord. Kill me." David is an example of one of God's men that he wonderfully props up for you and I and lets us get a glimpse of his life. But God doesn't hide his failures. Stay with me. God doesn't hide his failures. Why? Because those same failures of David can happen to you and I. Those same failures of David can happen to you and I. Now we all shout and rejoice over chapter number 30 and verse number 6 where David encouraged himself in the Lord. But if you go back in Scripture from chapter number 23 to chapter number 30, David does not inquire of the Lord. David does not inquire of the Lord. David does not have the mindset of following God. And in chapter 27, David makes a decision that God cannot protect me. I'm going to have to do it myself. A man after God's own heart. Is everybody all right? Y'all looking at me like I'm crazy. A man after God's own heart. We like to prop that up on David, but the fact of the matter is David made a bad decision in chapter number 27 that affected his life. He said, "God, let me paraphrase. Everybody ready? God, I'll take it now. I'll take it now. God, you've done good so far, but I got it from here on out." And so in chapter number 27, we find the beginning of David's ruin. We find the beginning of David's ruin. David makes a decision. Is it an effect of his thought life? I need somebody to hear me. Because you and I, our sin doesn't always show up in an action first. Most times it shows up in a mentality. David had been protected by God over and over again, and yet he came to a place and he said, God can't protect me no more. I'm going to have to run to the land of the Philistines. Don't miss this. He ran to the enemy. He ran to the enemy. He made himself a friend with the enemy. Is everybody with me? See, David made a choice. David, because of his mentality, because he didn't have the right mindset, because he wasn't thinking right, David made a decision that affected his life. I need somebody to hear me right now. Because the decision that David made, it didn't affect his life immediately. But it had effects on his life. And many of us are sitting there, and man, I'm telling you, I've said this before. If God treated us like he did the people in the Old Testament, there'd be a whole lot less sin in the world. I mean, if somebody done something wrong and God just opened up the earth and swallowed them, I need somebody to help me. You wouldn't have the problems we got in America anymore. Now let me hush. I'm going to say something I shouldn't. But his thought life was the beginning of his ruin. I noticed that his thought life affected his location. The Bible says that he left the land that God had given to him. This was the man that was anointed king, the man that would rule over Israel. And he left Israel and ran to the land of the Philistines. It affected his location. Can I say this? When you get the wrong mindset, it'll start affecting where you are. I'm having fun. Are y'all having fun? Hey, when you get the wrong mindset, it'll start affecting where you are. All of a sudden, church won't be a priority on your list anymore. All of a sudden, the things of God won't be a priority on your list. The people of God won't be a priority on your list. When you have the wrong mindset, you'll find yourself. Hey, have you ever asked yourself the question of why the church is packed out on a Sunday morning, but yet on a Wednesday night it ain't packed out? It's because people have allowed their mindset to affect their location. They only need God when something's going wrong in their life. They only need God when they need a blessing in their life. But as long as for the day-to-day, the routine of life, they don't need God. And so their mindset affects their location. Mindset affects their location. And can I say this? Your mindset will affect your location. As long as God is important to you, guess where you're going to be on a Sunday morning? Guess where you'll be on a Sunday night? You know, guess where you'll be on a Wednesday night? Guess where you'll be whenever anything's going on in church? We got to guard ourselves against a mindset that ruins. It affected his location. It affected his loyalty. Not only did it affect his location, but it affected his loyalty. Say, preacher, where are you going to see that? In chapter number 29... I told you he'd made friends with a king by the name of Achish, a king of Gath. And in chapter number 29, the Philistines were going to battle against, guess who? Israel. The anointed king of Israel, David, goes to Achish and says, hey, we gonna fight with you. Wait a minute. The anointed king. Stay with me. The man after God's own heart in chapter 29 is fixing to go to battle against the very people that God anointed him to lead. Y'all better hear me. Your mindset not only affects your location, but it affects your loyalties. All of a sudden, David's like, you know what? I'm tired of Saul. This was the same one that spared Saul's life twice. The same one that says, touch not God's anointing. I'll not lay my hands on God's anointing. Now all of a sudden he's going and enlisting in the Philistine army. The same army that he has fought against over and over again. The same army that he defeated at the beginning of his life. And now all of a sudden he's going to join up with the world and come against God's people. Man, I thought that was going to be a little better, Miss Logan, but it just didn't. It just didn't. They're not seeing it. I don't know what it is. But when you and I get the wrong mindset, it affects our location. It affects our loyalties. Can I say this? It affects our loved ones. I'm going to move over on this side. It affects our loved ones. Because of David's mindset, he ended up in the land of the Philistine. He ended up in a city called Ziklag, a place where his wife and children ended up being taken captive. It affects your loved ones. It affects your mom and dad. It affects your children. When your mindset ain't right. When your mindset ain't right and your location isn't right, it affects your loved ones. I need somebody to help me. When it affects your location, when it affects eventually your loved ones. I need some parents to hear me right here. Because some parents think that it's more important to be at a ball game than to have their youngins in church. Then they want to come at a later day and say, preacher, I don't know why my kids have gone the way that they've gone. They've gone that way because you made a priority in something else. And now you see the problem with it, but the problem was your mindset back then, and you have given that mindset to your loved ones, and now your loved ones are in the wrong location with the wrong loyalties because they had the wrong mindset. I need somebody to help me. Man, we're living in a day and time, man, where churches just, we've abandoned it. COVID-19, the government told us we were all going to die. I need somebody to help me. You were going to die. If you went to church, you were going to die. You were going to die. Now, you could go to Walmart and walk around Walmart with somebody with half of their butt hanging out, but you were safe in Walmart. I need somebody to help me. And as long as you went to a restaurant and sat down, you was okay. What moron? I got it. It's a Democrat. But what moron come up with that deal? You can catch COVID unless you're sitting on your butt. When you sit down on your butt, there's this magic switch that goes off, and all of a sudden, there's no more COVID in your life. You can go to the liquor store because it's essential. You got to have liquor. I need somebody to help me. To put up with the idiot you voted for. That's what that was all about. I need somebody to help me. As we look at this, I want you to know something. COVID has messed us up and it's brought us to a place where, hey, we'd just rather sit at home. But God never designed for us to sit at home. God designed for us to be together. God designed for us to meet together and to worship Him in corporate worship. But people have got the wrong mindset, and it's affected their location, it's affected their loyalties, and now it is affecting their loved ones. It affected his legacy, too. I mean, you're reading about a failure of David because he had the wrong mindset. He had the wrong mindset. David's ruin started. Everybody look at me. Between his ears. Y'all got to hear me. David's ruin started between his ears. We want to put everybody's ruin on an action. But David's ruin began between his ears. And your thought process, Your mental health when it comes to your spirituality. Hey, listen, if you don't take care of it, if you're not mindful of it, you'll end up in the same place as David. Chapter number 30. We've seen David's ruin. We've seen what's brought us to chapter number 30. But I want to show you David's response. Because David recognized something. I don't even know how to preach this. And most people, you can probably find a list, 500 lists of how to encourage yourself in the Lord. But I'm going to give you Robbie's list. Is that okay? First off, you got to recognize where you at. I believe David did. Now hear me out. David comes home and his family's been taken. All the men's family's been taken. All his possessions have been taken. And his home and city is burned. Now all the men are wanting to kill him. They're already talking about stoning him. If things weren't bad enough, I mean, come on, y'all help me now. I lose my youngins. I lose my wives. Wives. David lost his wives. I only got but one, all right? But anyhow, he lost his wives. He's lost his children. He's lost his home. He's lost his possessions. How could it get any worse? The ones that loved him, the ones that were following him, the one that came to where he was at said, you know what? Let's stone him. Y'all, stay with me. How is it? Why is it that David was blamed for this? You know what? I think it was apparent to everybody that David had left the will of God. I'm going to walk over here and say it on this side. I think it was apparent to everybody else that David had left the will of God. I think if you go back, them men had heard David more than once talk about God's people and talk about the enemy of God. I think more than once they had heard David justify killing the Philistines because they were the enemy of God, and now they're joining with. It don't take very long. I mean, if you got any kind of sense, you realize that David, there was a switch that got flipped somewhere in there, and David's no longer on the Lord's side. And so the men are speaking of stoning David, and all of a sudden David recognizes, he realizes, whatever you want to say, I wrote his realization. He came to the place where he said, you know what? I'm not where I'm supposed to be with God. I can't even stress this enough. It sounds so simple, but the fact of the matter is that most people that are backslidden, you've got to beat it into their head for them to understand that they are not where they need to be with God. We look at this story and we say, how in the world could God do this to David? But I believe God did this out of mercy. Oh, I need somebody to help me. I believe God did this to David out of mercy. Now, how many of you know this? The Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also. And how many times have we read in the Bible? You need to go back and read. I ain't done it tonight. But how many times can we read in the Bible where David raided a city and killed all that was in the city, women, children, everything? Oh, I know, that don't fit the narrative of a man after God's own heart, but that's what David did. Let's just stop playing the games. Let's get out of Sunday school for just a few minutes for 12-year-olds, and let's get to the adult class and understand that David was a warrior. He was a valiant man. A man of valor. This man, he was a mighty man of valor. David had gone in. Y'all better help me right here. If God had brought to David and allowed David to reap what he sowed, his wife, his children, and all of them would have been dead. I believe the first step in encouraging yourself in the Lord is this realization that I ain't where I'm supposed to be. And let me say, can I read a verse? I love this verse. I got to find it. I ain't going to say that I got it memorized, but I can find it pretty quick. Here we go. Y'all ready? It says this. It says, he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. I believe it was about right here where they was about to stone David that he thought, you know what? I have gotten away from God. And it has begun to affect everybody around me. And so I believe his realization is the first step of you encouraging yourself. By the way, encouraging, that word encouraging means strengthening. Stay with me. Because the next step in that is reconnecting. I told you it'd been since chapter number 23 since David had inquired of the Lord. But if we were to continue reading over here in 1 Samuel chapter number 30, in verse number 8 it says, and David inquired at the Lord. David reconnected. Y'all, I need. David reconnected. We don't see David chasing after God. We don't see David pursuing God or the things of God. But once David came to the realization of what God was trying to teach him, he reconnected with God. I think it's important for you to know that, hey, everybody makes mistakes. God wouldn't have put it in the Bible. God wouldn't have, listen, if God wanted to portray Christian life and wanted to portray serving him as something that you and I could do without any failure, we'd have a large portion of our Bible missing. Because it seems to me like every single major character that God gives us insight into their life, God shows us their failures too. My point is this, is that going through life thinking you're going to go through life and you're going to be perfect and you're going to serve God perfectly your entire life, you're never going to mess up, you're never going to get sideways with God, you're never going to get backslidden. There's a verse for that. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. The fact is that, hey, listen, everybody look at me. Everybody look up here. You can sit in a pew every day and be backslidden. You can come to church and check all the boxes and be backslidden. You can come in, you can say amen when you're supposed to, raise your hand when you're supposed to, tell the preacher good preaching when you're supposed to, when you ain't supposed to, tell everybody else, encourage other people in the Lord, all the while, you're far away from God. Got to recognize it. Number two, we got to reconnect. Number three, in David's response, was repentance. Say, preacher, I don't see that. I need somebody to help me. You don't go asking God for anything until you get right with God. I need somebody to help me. You don't go asking Dad if you can go out Friday night until you make up for the bad grades that he got to see on Monday. Whatever that is, whether you got to work harder, whatever you got to do. Listen, is everybody all right? Maybe I had a different parent than y'all did, all right? But like, I got a C and I was on restriction for 6 weeks. Is everybody all right? I don't know. Maybe I had a different parent or whatever. But you didn't go asking Dad to hang out, take the car out and everything else when things went right with you and Dad. Matter of fact, I made it a point. My dad liked to drink a 12-pack of beer, and he'd pass out in the chair. And I'd wait till he passed out and ask him questions why he was half asleep. I need somebody to help me. Why? Because I was never right with Dad. I need somebody to help me. Because when you ain't right with Dad, you don't go crawl up in his lap and say, hey, yo, I need somebody to help me. And see, I think there might be some folks in here that need to come on down around the altar and find a place and just get right with God. Might be a teenager in here tonight. Might be an adult. Might be a mama. Might be a daddy. Might be anybody. But we have said, you say, preacher, I'm here. You can sit in church and be backslidden. He realized things weren't right, but yet God was merciful. He reconnected and said, God, I can't, we'll get to that. He reconnected with God and said, God, I need you. He repented. I believe for him to strengthen himself, he had to go back and remember some things. I think David had to remember an anointing. I think David had to remember some accomplishments. I think David had to go back and remember how God had kept him safe throughout his life. This is how David strengthened himself. I've said this before. I say it on Sunday mornings all the time. But the fact is that most people don't thank God for the things that they have. Hey, if we come to church every week with the mindset that we're going to thank God for everything that he's ever given to us, man, hey, church service, you wouldn't want it to end after 30 minutes. Matter of fact, most of us wouldn't be done thanking him after 30 minutes. His realization, his reconnection, his repentance, his remembrance, and then his resolution. David wasn't going to move forward. He wasn't going to do anything without the approval of God. Verse number 8, the Bible says, and David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this truth? That's a different David. I need somebody to help me. That's a different David than what we've been reading about since chapter number 20. David would go after God. Hey, if they were an enemy of God, David would go and take them out, and he would go above and beyond when he did so. Now, all of a sudden, David realized just how small he is. David realized just how small he is. David said, God, I'm not going to do anything unless you say I can. So he resolved. His resolution was that I'm not going to take a step without your approval. And so God gave him his approval. And God said, he answered in him and said, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them and without fail recover all. Because of David's resolution, I'm going to follow God. God directed his path and gave David a promise. I need somebody to help me. I'm done, all right? Dalton's coming to the piano. We've looked at David's ruin. We've looked at David's response. But David's reward. David's reward was a companion. I know it seems elementary, but all of a sudden now David is reconnected with God. He's back in fellowship. And though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. I can't stress enough the mental aspect, our mental thought process. If God's not involved in it, it's going to go the wrong way. So David, his reward was a companion that'll never leave him nor forsake him. His compensation, he got everything back plus things that he didn't have. I ain't got time to read it. We're done. I wish I wouldn't have stopped. I shouldn't have had Dalton come up because I'd like to preach for another hour. But David went and got all the spoils, and they called them the spoils of David. David's spoils. That's what the Bible calls it. I ain't put this together, but it was in my studies, and this is just something that I was thinking of. I'm going to have to work on it. But Saul lost the kingship. He lost the throne because he didn't destroy the Amalekites, and he took spoils from the Amalekites. David went, whipped them all, took spoils, and God gave him a throne. David was was compensated. God gave him not only what he had lost, the Bible says he recovered all, but he gave him all the spoils of the Amalekites and what they've been doing. So David comes back. I ain't got time to read the story, but when David went to pursue, the Bible says that he left out with 600 men, but they were 200 people that weren't able to cross over the creek or the river. And David left them to tarry by the stuff. David goes with 400 men. He takes back all that he's lost. He comes back with all the spoils. And David shares the spoils with those who were too weak to cross the river. It makes the other 400 pretty mad because, bless God, they were all Baptists and they thought that if they went over there and won it all, that they were supposed to. Is everybody all right? But this is what David said. How are we going to keep back what God has given to us? In other words, this is what David was saying. The battle is the Lord's. And we hadn't heard David say something like that since chapter number 17. God was getting David back to a place where he needed to be. On that journey to go over there for the spoils, they find an Egyptian man laying out in the field about to die. And David shows compassion on the man. They feed him, get his strength back, and come to find out he was with the Amalekites when they raided Ziklag. I need somebody to hear me. A few days before this, David would have killed that man, walked over that man, would have never done anything with that man, but he got right with God and his compassion returned. David showed compassion and God rewarded him by that man being out of the camp of the Amalekites. And he said, David, I'll take you right to him. He said, man, this is good stuff. David goes, he gets all the spoils, he comes back, he shares it with the 200 that were too weak to cross the river. And then David does something that I don't even know where it come up with other than to say God. David said, I'm going to take and share of the spoils, and he sends them back to Judah. And he sends them back to his friends, the Bible tells us. David had gotten away from God for a while. And he'd ruined some relationships. I told you it affected more than just David. It ruined some relationships, and David had to repair some relationships. And so David sent the spoils back. Is everybody all right? We're still talking about the rewards of David. I don't understand why I'm having to go through this and why God's doing this or why God's wanting me to make up with this person or wake up with that person. Listen, this is cool. Y'all ready? While all this was going on and David was fighting the battle with the Amalekites, Saul went to battle with the Philistines, where David was supposed to be, where David asked to be, where David wanted to be fighting against Israel. Saul went to battle against the Amalekites, or not Amalekites, but the Philistines. And while David was recovering all, God was securing the throne. Saul died in that battle. When David, see, David was just trying to get right with God. But God was doing things in the background that David didn't know what was going on. And here's what God was doing. God was saying, hey, when you get right with me, I'll give you things you ain't never expected. David came home. The Bible says that after 2 days being back in Ziklag, word came to him that Saul was dead. Guess who got the throne? Listen, stay with me. He didn't get that until David got the right mindset. Tonight, I don't know what it is that has affected you. I'm going to say this, and I don't want anybody to get mad. If you do get mad, then that's even more proof you need to get right with God. But we ain't where we were. Nowhere close. Nowhere close. We ask people to volunteer and do something, and all of a sudden our hands are off. We can't volunteer. We can't do anything. We scared COVID might get us or something like that. Is everybody all right? We scared. We're letting everything in the world affect us and affect our mindset. Remember when we were in that little building? And we were about sitting on top of each other? And it was hot. Y'all might not remember that. We had two ACs going. Me and Brother Tommy Carter hung fans in there. We had two split units put in there. I mean, we was blowing all the air we could in there because they were 275 people that was sitting in less than 2,000 square foot. We were packed in there like sardines, loving God, worshiping God, loving on others, begging others to come, just in the hopes that they might meet God and get saved. Now we have gone through discipleship programs. We have gone through and taught my story and all these other things. And not, well, come on, I need somebody to help me. How many people has brought somebody? How many people has led somebody to the Lord during all that? I mean, y'all, don't get mad at me. Maybe it's because we ain't where we need to be. Maybe if we just got honest, no, we ain't going out there and joined up with the enemy and come against the people of God. But maybe we're on the way. Because the mindset has been affected. It's affected our location, our loyalties, our loved ones, our legacy. I need everybody. So what are we going to do tonight? I presented it. God put it in there for us to see. God said, here it is, laid out. He's a man after my own heart, but he ain't perfect. He made some mistakes. You know what made David a man after God's own heart? David knew how to get right with God. David knew how to get right with God. David was one that when he recognized or realized what was going on, he said, you know what? It don't matter what I got to do, I'm going to fix this with God. And God rewarded him for it. Heads bowed with me. God rewarded him for it. Too many people got their hands out, wanting a blessing from God when their heart's far from it. With their lips, they praise him. But their heart, far from it. David was at a place of, I quit, I'm done. Thank God, God wasn't done with him. Your mindset might not be where it needs to be, but I want you to know something tonight. God's not done with you. Recognize it tonight. Get this thing settled tonight. Reconnect with God tonight. Repent. Remember what God has done for you. And then resolve. David resolved. I'm not taking another step without you, Lord. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I want to ask a question. If you were to die tonight, do you know whether you'd go to heaven or hell? You're sitting in here tonight and say, preacher, I do not know that I would go to heaven if I was to die sitting in this chair tonight. I want you to do me a favor. I want you to raise your hand. Preacher, I do not know. Is there anybody in here? Be honest with the preacher tonight. If I died right now, I do not know that I'd go to heaven. Is there anybody like that? Right. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for a wonderful service. Good choir singing, good spirit, a good word. God, I pray that we realize it. Pray tonight we all reevaluate our lives It took David losing some things before he realized he wasn't where he needed to be with God. It took David losing some family, some loved ones, some friends, before he realized that he needed to get things right. Lord, I pray tonight, Lord, that we not get to that point. Lord, I pray that we'd evaluate our mindset. Prioritize our lives. Lord, put you first. David lived a life in fellowship. Lord, may we fellowship with you. Fellowship out in the field as he watched over the sheep. Fellowship in his battles when he said, the battle is the Lord's. God, may we reconnect with you. Repent, Lord, of a wayward mindset. Resolve, Lord, to pursue you in every aspect of our life. God, thank you for not throwing us away. We love you tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.